Welcome to the Hacking Happy podcast. My name is Penny Lacasso and I am the world's first happiness hacker. I'm on a bold mission, a mission to teach 10 million humans how to intentionally adapt in order to future-proof happiness by 2025. 6 years ago, I turned my life completely upside down in pursuit of happiness. I left a 16-year career as an executive in a global giant at the absolute top of my game. I relocated my family from Perth back to Melbourne, which is like moving from LA to New York, left an 18-year relationship and started my own purpose-driven company, HackingHappy.co. I have now spent the past 6 years as an entrepreneur with a deep-seated passion for learning how I can hack my own happiness and help beautiful humans just like you to do the same. I truly believe the world is suffering from happiness poverty, and I'm making absolutely no apologies in searching for a solution. In this podcast, I'll share my hacking happiness journey, my experiments, some of them crazy, my conversations with experts, and most importantly, practical hacks that enable you to let go of the things that are not serving you and lean in to more of what lights you up. But be warned, you may find it a little uncomfortable, but I'm going to challenge you that that's exactly where you need to be, because growth occurs in discomfort. So if you're ready to cultivate a practice of injecting more joy into every day, let's get started. Welcome to another episode of the Hacking Happy podcast. I thought this week I'd try something different and do a little intro before we get down to the main podcast and share with you what I've been up to for the past couple of months, because like most of you, my life and my business has fundamentally shifted since we realized this global pandemic. So the last few months, it would be fair to say I've been working in monk mode on a very exciting project that I'm launching tomorrow, Tuesday, the 2nd of March. It is a free live webinar that is designed to address one of the biggest challenges my Hacking Happy tribe face and share with me consistently in the realm of stepping into and creating what they long for, or the life that they long for now. And that challenge is, how do I make the time to gain clarity on what makes me happy and focus? How do I create the focus on being able to inject more of it into each day? And so for the first time ever, I'm going to deliver my free live webinar, How to Ditch Distraction and Ignite Your Focus on More of What Matters. Now, this webinar will teach you three things: why busy is the enemy of happiness, and how to kickstart creating the time and space, along with the skill to focus on making the changes you long for now. I'm also going to teach you how to cultivate a new kind of intelligence, one that was recently published in the Harvard Business Review, that amplifies your potential and possibility even in uncertainty. And the last thing, but by no means the least thing you're going to get out of this podcast, this webinar, is three simple practices to ditch distraction and ignite your focus on more of what matters. Because I am all about change in bite-sized pieces. Because when we focus on small changes, the impact over time is massive. Equally, small changes help us build the courage and confidence to lean into bigger shifts over time. And so I'm all about building your confidence and self-belief to believe that you can make the changes that you want to make and start living the life that you long for now. Now, if this sounds like it might be really helpful for where you're at the moment, then I am extending a personal invitation to you, my amazing podcast listener. And I'm extending also an early invitation so that you can get amongst this now. So if you want to get in on the action early, registrations don't close until the 10th of March. Click the link in the show notes and secure your spot now. Now, spaces will be limited, so make sure you do jump in early. There will be three different live sessions, and for anyone who turns up live to each or any of those sessions, I'm giving away an amazing bonus, which is 10 bulletproof hacks to eliminate distraction. So what are you waiting for? You have got so much to gain from this experience. It's going to give you more time back in your day. So jump on in and register now. And I'm going to now allow you to enjoy this week's episode of the Hacking Happy podcast. Hello and welcome to episode 16 of the Hacking Happy podcast. Today I am joined by someone very special to me, my good friend and the amazing entrepreneur Sheree Rubenstein. Hello, Sheree, and welcome.
Thanks, Penny. Pleasure to be here and always very exciting to catch up.
I know, it is nice even though we're in different locations now. So I wanted to bring you in today because this podcast, this particular topic is part of a two-part series and today is part two. So I thought I would invite you along because the topic that we're speaking about is why you'll never be ready and why that's exactly why you should lean in to the things you've longed for yet avoided. So, but I thought first, Sheree, let me introduce you for those who are listening that have not met you before, just to give a bit of context around why you're one of the most perfect people to speak to around this topic. So Sheree is a former corporate lawyer and entrepreneur. She is the founder of OneRoof, which pre-COVID was Australia's leading co-working space dedicated to women. Due to the pandemic, Sheree pivoted her business and now runs OneRoof as a digital membership for entrepreneurial women. Sheree is a 2018 Australian Financial Review 100 Women of Influence awarded person, also 2017 Telstra Business Woman finalist and 2016 Young Achiever. Sheree is on the board for the Victorian Women's Trust and is a mentor and advisor to many women-led businesses. So it's a bit of context around the amazing Sheree. Now, last week in this two-part series, just to put this in context for those who haven't heard part one and want to go back to it, basically the podcast was me talking about why you'll never be ready and how often ready can just be an excuse or a barrier between what we long for and actually taking action. I also spoke about how surrendering to not being ready has changed my life in magical and unexpected ways. And so when I thought of someone else to talk to about this, I know it's changed your life too, Sheree, which is why I rang you up. So today I wanted to dig deeper into particularly your perspective, Sheree, around being ready, because I think your journey has been an amazing one to sit back and watch. And it's fair to say that I think pretty much everything you've done from the conversations you and I have had personally, you, like me, have never felt ready to lean into. But every time I watch you dive in headfirst, I see you come out the other side even more inspiring than you were before. So I want you to start off by telling us, what have you done in the context, especially of your entrepreneurial journey, even if you want to hit us with a few things, what have you done that's been very visible that you've not been ready to do?
Left my corporate job and career and became an entrepreneur and started a business, which I never intended on doing or thought I would do, or, you know, that wasn't in my line of sight of where I was going in my life. Started a co-working business that I never intended or thought I was going to do, ran a co-working space, raised capital well before I was ready, felt like the biggest imposter in the room every single time I had a conversation about raising capital and money and the success of OneRoof. Pivoted the business and launched it as a digital membership well before I was ready or the business was ready, launching another business this year and again doing it, you know, well before I feel truly ready. Became a mum well before I was ready, most things in my life.
So then tell me what the word ready means to you.
I think ready means, in my head, it means having all, you know, your ducks in a row and feeling like you've crossed all the T's and dotted all the I's. And really how I was taught in the corporate world and as a lawyer, that you don't put anything out into the world, you don't give advice and you don't send an email until you're 100% certain that it's right and that, yeah, and that you're ready, and that, yeah, that it's right, and that you're going to be successful in what you're doing. And so I think, yeah, ready is feeling that there is no chance of failure.
I love it. That's exactly what I was saying the other day. So you've just spoken about what ready meant in the context of how you've been conditioned in your, I would say, past life, because you're a lot like me. I don't know whether you feel it, but I feel like I've had two very different lives. Now talk to me about why you no longer apply that readiness to the things that you lean into. How is your mindset different from what you were conditioned back then to where you're at now? Because you've just given us all these things you've done that go against the grain of what you were taught.
Yeah. So one of the first things a mentor said to me when I started One Roof was, you need to unlearn everything that you learned previously in your past life. And in the entrepreneurial world and in the world that you're getting into, done is better than perfect. You need to put yourself out there well before you're ready. You need to test and learn and get feedback and iterate and fail in order to grow and in order to create and in order to build something that's going to be of value to others. I often think about Brené Brown, and you know, Penny, you and I have talked about this a lot, and it's so much of what you live and breathe. But the idea of, for you to truly be in the arena, you are going to feel scared and unsure of yourself and have self-doubt, and you won't be ready. But it's a sign that you're in the arena and that you're giving it a go. So, and if you feel ready, then, and you feel like you've crossed every T and dotted every I, you've probably waited too long.
Well, it's funny because I always say that the action breeds the clarity, right? So yeah, the things you think you need to be ready, you can't actually learn unless you start taking action. Because like you said, you know, if you're not taking action, how do you build the knowledge and the skills you need to do something new? It's through the experimenting that you actually build the skills to feel and be ready, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. And to highlight that in an example, when COVID hit, I was at the time gearing up to expand the business and open more co-working spaces. And I realized that being in an extended lockdown is not the environment to be building that kind of a business. And so I pivoted. And if I had waited until I was ready, I'd probably still be waiting to relaunch the business as a digital membership. And instead, I launched it in 6 weeks. I got government funding to do it. The website was a good start and the membership was okay. And then over time, we've tweaked it and refined it and worked out what works and what doesn't. And, you know, I would have just been twiddling my thumbs for a year working out what to do next, rather than now having built a global membership of over 250 members and being able to, you know, build that momentum. You just can't get momentum if you're sitting back waiting for the perfect moment to do something.
What impact do you think waiting to be ready has on one's potential?
I think it creates a level of expectation that you may never be able to achieve. You set your expectations so high and think that if in your mind you're thinking, I'm not going to launch or do this thing until I'm 100% ready and everything's perfect, and then if things don't quite go according to plan, then you just can't meet unrealistic expectations. And so I think by doing something before you're ready, you give yourself the permission to make mistakes, and there'll be issues along the way, whether you think you're 100% ready or not. And so at least it gives you the space to say it's okay that it didn't go 100% according to plan.
And more often than not, things don't go the way you think they're going to go. And that's what I think is fascinating about this space, especially when you want to make some significant change, be it life, be it career, be it in entrepreneurship. You know, you have this idea of what you want to happen. You have this idea of what you want to lean into. But you and I both know that as soon as you start leaning into it, it looks very different from what you thought, because you don't know what you don't know. And it's unfamiliar territory. It's, you know, it, like I said, you just, it's the unknown, it's uncertainty. But there's so much magic in terms of the growth, the learning, but equally like the potential and possibility that you couldn't have foreseen because it's not something that you've experienced before.
Yeah. And I feel, again, Penny, you talk about this a lot, that the concept of micro acts of bravery and, you know, taking yourself out of your comfort zone regularly on a regular basis, even if it's only small acts to get comfortable with that. And I feel that over time, I still get just as nervous to do everything that I do every time I'm out of my comfort zone. But at least I've just gotten more comfortable with being uncomfortable. And it's an amazing muscle to work at and build on. And doors open and magic happens. Like, it just does. And we both know it. We're proof of that over and over again.
And it's interesting. And I think you pick up on a really good point. And I say this all the time, we don't want to get rid of these feelings of not feeling ready. We don't want to get rid of these feelings of fear. We can't, you know, it would be inhuman. These are innately human feelings. What you get better at through stepping into the discomfort, through leaning into not being ready, what you get better at is leaning into it and coming out the other side a little better than what you were before. Like, it gets easier to step into it because the feeling's familiar and you know it's not as bad as what you once thought it was. Do you know what I mean? I think you build this resilience towards saying, you know what, it's uncomfortable. I know it's not going to be perfect, but I'm going to do it anyway. It's almost like a green light, I find now, for possibility.
Yeah. And it's that pattern recognition to know that you experience that. You know, for me, public speaking is something that I always get nervous about. And it used to be debilitating, but over time, it's something I almost laugh at now because I know how nervous I get before I get up on stage. And I'm so used to that, those nerves haven't changed. Just my perception of the nerves have changed. And actually, I get more excited now because I know that the nerves are excitement. And I know that once I'm up on stage, I'll love it. And I know I'll feel amazing afterwards. And the pattern recognition has helped me to get really comfortable with something that used to frighten me and paralyze me. So the more you do it, the more comfortable you are at it. And the growth is just incredible. The personal growth is incredible.
Let me ask you something. Are you busy? Do you find every waking moment is full? Do you rise each morning feeling exhausted, stuck, and longing for change? If the answer to any of these questions is a hell yes, then why not join me for my brand new free live webinar, How to Ditch Distraction and Ignite Your Focus Around More of What Matters. In this live online class, I'm going to share with you why busy is the enemy of happiness and how to kickstart creating the time and the skill to focus on making the changes you long for now. I'm also going to help you cultivate a new kind of intelligence, one that was recently published in the Harvard Business Review. And this type of intelligence is designed to amplify not only your potential, but your possibility, even in uncertainty. And the last thing that I'm going to gift you as part of this free live webinar is three simple practices to ditch distraction and ignite your focus on more of what matters. So if that sounds like a plan, jump on into the show notes now, hit the link, register, and join me on the inside.
And you pick up on another interesting point around the perception of these feelings, right? Because I remember reading a piece of research once that said, if you look at the brain and how it responds when it's feeling anxious and when it's feeling excited, you can't actually tell the difference. It looks exactly the same. So anxiety and excitement are extremely similar emotions. The only difference is that anxiety focuses on the outcome being negative. And I remember a racing car driver in one of my lessons once said to me that he uses that to trick his brain when he's in the rally car and he feels anxious. He says to himself, am I anxious or excited? And you've just sort of said that's exactly what you do. You flip it. It's like, yeah, this is not anxiety. It's actually excitement. And I think telling yourself that, as you say, just shifts your perspective. It's so interesting.
I was just going to say, when I used to experience anxiety, I think, and I still experience anxiety, but I think when I suffered from it, it was because it was the anxiety about the anxiety, you know? And when you get rid of the anxiety that you experience in thinking, why am I so anxious? What's wrong with me? And you kind of look at it and you can laugh and realize that it's totally normal. And of course, you're anxious before you get up on stage. Every single human on this planet experiences that. It changes your whole perspective on anxiety.
So what advice, my friend, would you have for someone who longs to make change but tells you they're not ready? Because I hear this all the time, and this is why I wanted to have this conversation. It's why I wanted to have a two-part series around this. Because I hear people say I've got this amazing idea. I'd really love to start my own business. I'd really love to live in a different location. I'd really love to leave my partner, like all of these things. And then they say to me in the same sentence, like, I'm really longing for this. I really want to do it, but I'm just not ready. And then I say, well, how long have you been thinking about it? And this is where it gets fascinating, right? And on average, people long for these things for around 2 to 3 years before they take any action. And that's if they take action at all. So I'm wondering what advice you have, especially like for female entrepreneurs coming to you saying, I've got all these ideas, but I'm just not ready yet.
I think there's so many things I want to say. Firstly, regret. When we regret, it's usually, in fact, it's almost regret not doing something rather than regretting doing it. And so if you can remember that and know that you just won't ever regret trying and giving something a go, you just can't regret it. You can't regret challenge and putting yourself out there. I guess also we'll always make excuses for ourselves and find ways not to do the thing that seems hard or that seems out of our comfort zone, because naturally we just want to attach ourselves to comfort and we're drawn to the easier option. Well, I guess not all of us, Penny. I don't even know if you and I are drawn to the easy option, but I think in those moments, you just really need to find people who are going to be around you and can offer you the encouragement to step out of your comfort zone. Because, you know, I guess it can be difficult if you've got a partner or a parent or a friend or someone saying, yeah, that's not smart. Yeah, that's expensive. Yeah, that's too much of a risk. Yeah, that's, you're right, that's too difficult. And if you hear that all the time, then of course, giving it a go is, it's just, you don't have the support around you. So I think finding that support, and Penny, you and I, when we left our corporate careers, we met and surrounded ourselves with people who would say yes, who would say to us, absolutely, go for that crazy opportunity, give it a shot. And we, you know, we tested lots of things together and lots of ideas, and you just need to be surrounded. You need to find people who will say, take a risk. And of course, don't take the biggest risk of your life and put all your life savings into one thing. That's definitely not what we're saying at all. It needs to be calculated risk. I think most of the time people aren't talking about putting their life savings on the line. They're talking about things that will so obviously be exciting and an amazing change in their life, but, you know, they're held back because of fear and because of maybe somebody important to them is telling them that it's not the right thing to do. But it sits with you and it niggles away and it doesn't go away. When you live your life according to how others tell you or encourage you to, you will just forever be sitting with the what if and the regret of not trying.
I love it. It's funny, I was writing something yesterday and I was thinking one of the things that I did when I started out that was really hard, because I'd left, like you know, you leave this cash flow where you're getting paid really well and the security of that when you become an entrepreneur. And one of the things that I did that I thought was so powerful at the time, but it took me a long time to get there, was create what I called a self-development fund, where I actually, for the first time in my life, carved out a portion of my savings and said, when I worked in the corporate sphere, the company that I worked for invested hundreds of thousands of dollars in my learning and development. That was how I got to where I was. And now I'm trying to reinvent myself. I'm starting over and I'm not willing to invest in my own development, but I'm quite happy for someone else to. That doesn't make it. I have to invest in my future. I have to invest in me. Because it's like I'm learning a new degree in how to navigate uncertainty. And so that self-development fund and carving out that amount of money was extremely difficult, but a game changer, because it gave me permission to invest in myself. I sounded at how many people, like I say, are quite happy for an organization to invest in their development and have an expectation around that, but they're not willing to invest in their own growth and development around the things that truly light them up or the things they really want to change in their life.
Yeah, absolutely. The other thing that I love that you preach and, you know, you've got in your Hacking Happiness book and what you talk a lot about is being intentional and, you know, writing out your intention every day. And because I think it's so easy for us to let life take over and let other people dictate what we do with our lives. But if you can just write out, today my intention is, or today I'm going to commit to doing this one thing for myself, yourself and get used to doing that, then you can find comfort and familiarity in doing more things for yourself.
Absolutely. Any other things you want to drop on us before we leave? Random thoughts that you've got around this topic before we close out?
The other thing that I did during COVID was I left Melbourne and temporarily, but, I had Goldie, who's now 10 months old, and she was born a couple of weeks into the first lockdown. And then my partner Goldie and I picked up and left and did our quarantine in Darwin, and we've been in Queensland and now we're in the Byron Shire. And I think a lot of people looked at us and thought that's crazy, and how can you be living this transient life right now? But we look at it and we're like, this is unbelievable. I was saying to Penny just before we went live that we're living on the beach, we go for swims every day, and Goldie's thriving and we're thriving and we're working remotely, and we just picked up and did it. Like, we didn't know what was going to happen. We didn't, obviously little things you have to get in order, like renting out our place in Melbourne and knowing where we're going to be able to stay here, and but just kind of making these decisions and going with it and changing things up and believing that there's possibility, and it's just been an amazing eye-opening experience. Law said to me last night, you've got to get more serious and think about owning a place, and you can't live this transient life. And I think sure, at some point, but right now it's working, and it's working great, and we're enjoying it, and we're all thriving. So change can be really positive if you lean into it.
Oh, trust me, I've been speaking for the last week about buying a caravan or like a camper trailer and traveling around Australia, because I keep saying to Sax, who's 10, there would be no better time to do it than now. Imagine if we go into lockdown again and we were stuck, in the middle of outback Australia. I couldn't think of a better place to be. But I'm still got a bit of a hard sell on that one after the Himalayas trekking. I don't think he's ever going to trust me again on an adventure. My beautiful friend, thank you so much for sharing your perspectives on why we'll never be ready and why that's such a brilliant opportunity to make change in our lives. I think, the magic certainly lies in self-disruption, and for me and for you, that the possibility and the potential of this constant self-disruption and just shaking things up and seeing how it plays out. You say it just delivers every time in some respect. And I think the other thing that's fascinating about it is the unintended consequence of how it inspires other people. And I know your story constantly inspires the female entrepreneurs that surround you. You don't realize how doing these things can inspire or influence your children. It can influence your family, and it can influence people you don't even know. It's amazing. So thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today. And for those of you listening, happiness looks good on you, and I'll be back with you in a week's time. Bye for now.
Thanks for joining me for today's episode of the Hacking Happy podcast. If there was something that ignited a flame or sparked a thought within you from this conversation, please take a screenshot and share it on your preferred social media platform. Feel free to tag me in Hacking Happy Co or Penny Licalzo. Reviews are so important to reaching my goal of making 10 million beautiful humans just like yourself happier. So if you enjoyed your listen, please take a moment, leave a review and a rating on your preferred podcast listening platform. Until the next episode, remember, happiness looks good on you. Bye for now.